The sun rises over the San Joaquin Valley, California. Today is June 19th, 2020. This week, we welcomed a new group of residents who started on June 15th, 2020. Welcome aboard Drs. Amodio, Civelli, Graywall, Lorenzo, Lundquist, Martinez, Wosu, and Viamantes. We are excited for you and all the experiences you will have in the next 3 years. On June 9th, the USPSTF recommended to screen for unhealthy drug use in all adults age 18 years or older. This is a Grade B recommendation, or moderate to substantial benefit. Screening should be implemented when services for accurate diagnosis, effective treatment, and appropriate care can be offered or referred. Screening in this case refers to asking questions about unhealthy drug use, not testing biological specimens. The search for the miraculous antiviral drug against COVID-19 continues. We previously mentioned remdesivir, which was granted emergency use authorization, or EUA, by the FDA on May 1, 2020 in the U.S. Another drug you should be aware of is ivifavir. Ivifavir is based on favipiravir, originally sold in Japan as an antiviral medication to treat influenza. Ivifavir has been approved to be used in Russia and is now being tested in the U.S. and the U.K. as well. Let's keep ivifavir on our radar. If it works, we'll surely know about it.
Welcome to Rio Bravo Q-Week, the podcast of the Rio Bravo Family Medicine Residency Program, recorded weekly from Bakersfield, California, the land where growing is happening everywhere. The Rio Bravo Family Medicine Residency Program trains residents and students to prevent illnesses and bring health and hope to our community. Our mission is to seek, teach, and serve. Sponsored by Clinica Sierra Vista, we are providing compassionate and affordable care to patients throughout Kern and Fresno counties since 1971. Feedback, like rain, should be gentle enough to nourish a man's growth without destroying his roots. Inspired by Frank A. Clark.
Definitely, being corrected is not easy. It takes a lot of courage to accept that we may be wrong sometimes, and trying to fix our mistakes requires diligence. Remember that your attendings are not trying to humiliate you, or at least the attendings that I know, but they are correcting you to help you succeed in your career. Today we have a resident who is excited to talk about his topic, Dr. Brito, Dr. Ariel Brito. He's here with us, and I'm very happy that he accepted to be with us today. It's almost the end of the day, and he's willing to help us to learn more about his topic. So let's start with your introduction, Dr. Brito.
Thank you very much, Dr. Reza, for inviting me.
Okay, tell us who you are, Dr. Brito.
Yes, well, I was born and raised in the center of the Cuban island. I had the opportunity to study and practice medicine in my native language, in my native country. After graduating from medical school, I completed my social service year in an underserved area on the beautiful north coast of the Cuban island. Most of my patients there were farm workers and fishermen. I also worked later on in the ER for 6 years before immigrating to the United States. Once in the United States, after years of preparation, I was accepted into the UCLA IMG program back in 2018. And the following year, I was able to match in this wonderful Rio Bravo program. Talking a little bit more about myself, I like fish keeping, outdoor sports such as running, sports in general. My favorite movie director is Pedro Almodóvar, which is one of the Spanish directors. I also love jazz music, such as Miles Davis or Chucho Valdez, which is a Cuban artist.
So Dr. Brito is one of our Cuban doctors in Rio Bravo, and I'm very excited to see you growing and thriving in our program. And I'm very happy that you're here today with us. So you are gonna tell us now what you learned this week.
Okay, well, this week I learned about the treatment of tension type headache.
TTH.
Right? Or TTH, yeah. First, the preventive therapy of the TTH ranges from drugs to non-pharmacologic therapy, such as behavioral and cognitive interventions. Prophylactic treatment is indicated in headaches are when the headaches are frequent, long-lasting, or account for a significant amount of total disability, such as frequent episodic subtype and chronic subtype. So frequent episodic subtype accounts for less than 15 headache days in a month, and chronic subtype more than 15 headache days a month. Preventive therapy may be also indicated when acute therapy, I refer to acute therapy to acetaminophen, the use of acetaminophen, or non-steroid anti-inflammatory drugs. When the acute therapy fails or is inappropriate because of inadequate response, adverse events, overuse, or contraindication. In those terms, we can use a preventive therapy.
So you want to start with prevention. That's good. Yeah. So you want to start with a prophylaxis of headaches first. Yeah. So that's good. But what drugs that we have and do we have to
As
prevent?
A preventive medication, we have the option of pharmacologic therapies. Evidence of efficacy is limited and inconsistent, but perhaps is the strongest for the tricyclic antidepressants such as amitriptyline. It has been used other medications such as mirtazapine and venlafaxine, topiramate, gabapentin, tizanidine. All of those medications have limited data. And all other options that we can that has been used is the trigger point injection, which requires more research. In contrast, SSRIs are not effective as a pharmacologic preventive therapy. So mainly, amitriptyline is the best choice that we have.
So, and I have to remind everybody that this is for tension type headache. Maybe it's different for migraines, but you can see that there is not a lot of medications to use for prophylaxis. So, but you're talking about amitriptyline. It seems to be the best choice based on your review. So, tell us more about the medications that we can use for prevention.
For prevention, for example, amitriptyline at 10, we can start with a dose of 10 to 12.5 milligrams nightly and increase the dose in 10 to 12.5 milligrams steps every 2 to 3 weeks as tolerated. And a maximum dose is around 100 to 125 milligrams. Remember or bear in mind that tricyclic antidepressants are associated with cardiac conduction abnormalities and arrhythmias. So before initiating any treatment, patients should be screened. Those patients over 40 years of age with EKG, and those patients younger than 40 years of age can be screened just by history, and we're supposed to ask about evidence or look for any evidence of a cardiac disease. Of course, the dosing and duration of the therapy, we're supposed to start the drug at the lowest dose and increase the dose gradually until therapeutic benefit is achieved.
Okay, so that's for amitriptyline. Very good. And so what behavioral therapies can you recommend us?
Okay, in terms of preventive, there's some options of behavioral therapy. We have the option of regulation of sleep, exercise, and meals. We have the CBT, which is a cognitive behavioral therapy, relaxation, and biofeedback. These therapies may be suited for patients who prefer no pharmacologic treatment, those who have insufficient response to or poor tolerance to pharmacologic treatments. Pregnant patient, nursing, those patients with excessive use of analgesic, or those who have significant stress or deficient stress coping skills. Studies suggest that treatment using biofeedback combined with relaxation technique therapy rated than other behavioral therapy options. So the best option would be the combination of relaxation therapy plus biofeedback.
Biofeedback, that's something that I had to look up because I've heard the word before, but I wasn't sure what it was. But actually, biofeedback is a technique that uses electrodes, and they are connected to a monitor, and they are connected to the patient, and the sensors measure one or more signs of stress. This can include heart rate, muscle tension, or body temperature. So those signals that are sent to the patient, and the patient can learn to control those signs of stress. So that's what biofeedback is. And I've never seen it, but it's good to know that it works for tension type headache, as well as for other things like stress, anxiety, etc. So what other options do we have that doesn't imply the use of medications?
That's good. That's good to know about biofeedback, Dr. Reza. Other non-pharmacologic therapies, such as acupuncture, which suggest any benefits, is likely to be modest, and physical therapy with unproven benefit.
So you talked about the prophylaxis of headaches. So that's very good to review. A very good review. So, but now tell me about the acute treatment of the headache. So when a patient comes to you and says, doctor, I have a strong headache, a really bad headache. So what are the options that we have?
Okay, in terms of acute and aborted therapy of TTH, as the preventive ranges from non-pharmacologic therapies to simple and combination analgesic medications. In most cases, the treatment of TTH is largely self-directed using over-the-counter medication without any input from a medical provider. So, non-pharmacologic treatments could include heat, ice, massage, rest, and biofeedback. Also, we have the precipitating factor, and by controlling those precipitating factor, we're gonna be able to at least to control or avoid any episode of headaches. Those precipitating factors include and related to the TTH specifically are stress and mental tension are reported to be the most common precipitants. Other precipitants such as anxiety, major depression, overwork, lack of sleep, incorrect posture, etc.
So there is a lot of there is a lot of precipitating factors. It seems like all humans basically they're gonna have a tension headache in their lives, and actually that's the case. We all experience a headache at least once in our lifetime, and it's because of all these precipitating factors. So in terms of medications, Dr. Brito, let us give us some information about that.
Okay, in terms of medication for acute treatment, given the available data, the recommended treatment is with simple analgesics such as non-steroid anti-inflammatory drug or aspirin for patients with pure episodic tension headache. Interesting, acetaminophen, 1,000 mg, is probably less effective than non-steroid anti-inflammatory drugs or aspirin. Reasonable choices include ibuprofen, that we can use between 200 to 400 milligrams, naproxen, 220 milligrams up to 550 milligrams, or aspirin from 650 to 1000 milligrams. For those patients who fail with this medication, we can use diclofenac, 25 to 100 milligrams of diclofenac. And for those who cannot tolerate non-steroid anti-inflammatory drug or aspirin, in that case, we can use acetaminophen 1000, which is the preferred choice in that case.
So those medications we use frequently, and they're very affordable. and they're very accessible for patients. So that, like you said, usually the patients, they don't come to the doctor just for the headache. They come to you when the headache is, you know, is very frequent, is disabling, is having other kind of symptoms. But sometimes you can see all kinds of patients, right? It's good to know that we have been doing something good. You know, these medications are very commonly used. And like you said, they are commonly abused too. And when patients, they start giving, taking a lot of these medications, they can have actually a chronic headache, and even worse, that can make it very hard to treat. So how can you tell, Dr. Brito, if the treatment that you're giving a patient is accurate or is effective?
Okay, so the treatment should be considered ineffective if two or more of the following question that I'm going to tell you guys are consistently not met by the patients. First question would be, is the patient pain-free and functioning normally in 2 to 4 hours after treatment? Second question would be, does the treatment work consistently without routine headache recurrence? Third question would be, is the patient able to plan his or her dates? This question is in regards to or test the disability that the headache is causing in the patient. And last question, and lastly, is the if the medication is tolerable by the patients. If the medication is not causing any adverse effect in the patients. So if the treatment should be considered ineffective, as I just tell you, if two or more of these criteria are consistently not met by the patient.
Okay. So there is sometimes when the patient says, doctor, that medication is not working for me, I'm still having headaches 2 or 3 times a week. What do you do in those cases?
Well, in those cases, first of all, we have to consider if the diagnosis of tension headache is might be inaccurate, or less likely the patient has a secondary etiology, most likely migraine with the aura, that is a similar or another diagnosis with similar overlapping findings related, or similar findings in terms of a migraine with an aura and tension headache. We have to ask ourselves about in case of the diagnosis is correct, but sometimes it's not the diagnosis. Is the wrong we are using the wrong medication choice, or we have inadequate dose or timing. We have to ask ourselves about medication overuse, and also we have to take in consideration if the patient has the diagnosis of depression or anxiety disorders.
Okay, so in those patients that are not responding to the treatment that you are prescribing, so you, like you said, you see the diagnosis is incorrect, or maybe the diagnosis is correct, but you're not using the right medications or the right frequency or the right dose, or the patients are abusing the medication. So that's something very important to remember. And of course, our little friend, depression and anxiety, is also a possibility in patients with chronic headache that are intractable. So what other interventions, Dr. Brito, can you think of?
Well, in that case, we have other acute interventions, which are a combination analgesic containing caffeine, for example, which are recommended in suboptimal response. We have other options such as butalbital or codeine, which is not recommended as initial therapy, however. We have other options such as parenteral options, such as chlorpromazine or metoclopramide, with very limited evidence or studies that support that the use of this medication. And we have ketorolac and also muscle relaxant, which are not recommended according to the studies that has been performed.
So when the treatment doesn't work, we have to get a little creative, you know, like you said, caffeine, you know, that Fury set. Some patients, they really love that. But we know that it can be effective, but it can also be abused. So be careful with prescribing that. Prescribe it only when it's really necessary. And, you know, some people use other options, like you said. Toradol shot, maybe, can help a patient to get out of the headache or to get over the headache. So just consider those options when everything else that you have tried is not working. So, Dr. Brito, you have got this knowledge so far, and why do you think this knowledge is important for you and your patients?
Well, I think this topic is very important for us and for our patients. Tension type headache is the most prevalent headache in the general population and the second most prevalent disorder in the world. GLE prevalence rates for episodic tension headache are approximately 80% in men and women. And understanding the pathophysiology and the clinical aspect of the tension headache is important, very important, for accurate diagnosis and optimum treatment. However, tension headache is a relatively featureless headache, making it the least distinctive of all primary headache phenotypes. In addition, it is the least studied of all primary headache disorders, despite having a high socioeconomic impact. The prevalence of tension headache is greater than migraine, and the overall cost of tension headache is high. In one population study, persons with episodic tension headache reported a mean of 9 lost work days and 5 reduced effectiveness days, while persons with a chronic tension headache reported a mean of 27 lost work days and 20 reduced effectiveness days.
So they missed a lot of work because of tension headache. We sometimes overlook tension headaches and think, oh, you know, it's not that important as migraine. But actually, like you're saying, is migraine is actually is not as expensive, or it's not causing a lot of disability. It's the tension headache that is causing the most problems. So it's important to treat these tension headaches. And Dr. Brito, how do you get this knowledge?
Well, that knowledge came from medical school, and second, after years of practice medicine. During those years, we as a doctor evaluate and manage a large number of patients with one of the most common medical complaints, headache. In terms of finding out more of what to do with patients, how to make them feel better, and I had to look some stuff up. My trusted sources in clinic are up to date, the faculty, and review journal articles, not necessarily in that order.
And specifically for this case, what sources do you use?
Well, the information comes from multiple reliable medical sources, such as frequent headaches, evaluation management by Anne Wally, downloaded from AFP website, and tension type headaches in adults, preventive and acute treatment that we can find in up to date.
So thank you so much, Dr. Brito, for bringing that information to us today. Tension type headache, TTH, it can be very disabling. Fortunately, we have some options for treatment of the acute headache and also for prophylaxis. So I'm glad that you came to talk about this today. And I hope you guys liked it, and I hope you can put it to practice. Stay tuned for next week.
Okay. Thank you very much, Dr. Reaza, for inviting me over.
Have a nice week. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Harjinder Sidhu. I'm a third-year medical student. I'm here to present the medical word of the week, colurea. Has your patient ever informed you their urine color is brown, Coca-Cola color-like? Colurea has two roots, col and urea. Col is the combination of bile and gallbladder. Urea is the terminology used to describe the presence of something in urine that should not be present. So colurea is the presence of bile in your urine, which causes the urine to become brownish in color. The presence of bile in your urine has an underlying liver disease such as cirrhosis, hepatitis, and or hemolysis. Colurea usually manifests after serum levels of bilirubin are above 1.5 milligrams per deciliter. Now that we understand colurea, in the future we can look out for our patients by asking any changes in the urine for potential liver problems. Stay tuned for next week's word.
This is for episode 17, Dr. Brito's topic. Hi, this is Dr. Carranza on our section, Spanish, por favor. This week, I wanted to share a tool for a follow-up question. Not too long ago, we learned about dolor, that dolor means pain, and we learned about body parts like cabeza, which is head, rodilla, which means knee, pecho, which means chest, etc. Next, you will probably want to ask where the dolor exactly is. And to simplify things, we can ask the patient to point with one finger to where it hurts. We can do this by saying, ¿dónde? Which means where, followed by señale con un dedo, which means point with one finger. Señalar means to point, and dedo means finger. I hope you can use this in your practice. Señale con un dedo. And you can always ask nicely and say por favor, which means please. So you can say por favor, señale con un dedo. Have a great week.
Now we conclude our episode number 17, Tension Headache. Dr. Brito briefly explained the treatment for tension headaches and how lifestyle modifications are key and how many non-pharmacological options are available with different degrees of evidence. Thinking about prophylaxis of tension headaches? Amitriptyline is likely a good choice, but remember the side effects as well. Dr. Carranza taught us how to ask about location of pain with the phrase señale con un dedo, and then we remembered the word colurea, which is bilirubin in the urine. Stay tuned for more next week. This is the end of Rio Bravo Q Week. We say goodbye from Bakersfield, a special place in the beautiful Central Valley of California, United States. A land where growing is happening everywhere. If you have any feedback about this podcast, please contact us by email at rbresidency@clinicasierravista.org or visit our website, riobravofmrp.org/QWeek. This podcast was created with educational purposes only. Please visit your primary care physician for additional medical advice. Our podcast team is Hector Ariaza, Ariel Brito, Claudia Carranza, and Harjinder Sidhu. Audio by Siraj Amrutia. See you next week. Today, June 19th, is Juneteenth, and in celebration, we'd like to share a quote from Barack Obama. Juneteenth has never been a celebration of victory or an acceptance of the way things are. It's a celebration of progress. It's an affirmation that despite the most painful parts of our history, change is possible, and there is still so much work to do. Thank you.